The Strangers of Kindness. We stopped at 34th Street Station. Into the subway came a man wearing a party hat along with five of his friends. His name was Ian, as we were all about to find out. As the train pulled out of the station, one of Ian's friends clapped his hands and announced, "All right, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Today is my friend's birthday, and I'd like everybody to sing happy birthday. On the count of three." Two people in that carriage immediately cringed for two entirely different reasons. The first was Ian, being outed by his friends for having a birthday and for becoming the center of attention. The second was me. I am a sixth-generation Australian, but despite those centuries, I still can't unload the pesky DNA meticulously ingrained for thousands of years by the Brits, the genes that shy away from public displays of emotion, the worst of them being affection. In a public place, I try to make myself as inconspicuous as possible. I try not to display any human vulnerability, such as sneezing, coughing, moving a limb, or breathing. So when a loud American requests across the crowded carriage for us all to join in a spontaneous celebration for a total stranger, I shrink. What happened next floored me. "One, two, three," shouted Ian's friend, and the entire carriage erupted into song. Across that rocking subway train carriage, total strangers started singing happy birthday. And to my horror, I heard myself joining in. I was suddenly singing a rousing version of happy birthday, oblivious to its consequences. This not being Thailand, we stumbled on the third line. "Happy birthday, dear..." And for a moment the hysteria subsided, for nobody knew the guy's name. Luckily, his friends came to the rescue. Ian. Ian. It is one of those names which, along with being mildly nerdy, doesn't fit into a happy birthday song. And why should it? Have you ever met an Ian you wanted to celebrate a birthday with? I think it was the first time in my life I ever had to sing, "Happy Birthday, Dear Ian." And it sounded not unlike a Rihanna lyric, clunky and not fitting the meter of the song. "Happy birthday, dear Ian." Yuck. Nevertheless, the entire carriage saved itself with a rousing end. "Happy birthday to you." After which the carriage erupted into cheers. What a great moment! Ian immediately lifted his arms up and did a 180-degree sweep to acknowledge the crowd. One of his friends brought out a wine glass and a bottle of red wine, opened it, and poured a glass for him. My first instinctive stream of consciousness thought was, "Oh my God, where did he get that? It's after 2 p.m. and not yet 5 p.m. But I remembered I was in a civilized country with a healthy attitude to alcoholism. There was a middle-aged woman sitting not that far away from where Ian was standing. She was in a heavy overcoat and clutching a bag. She looked like one of my maiden aunts from Melbourne we were forced to visit as children. "You're not the only one celebrating a birthday," she said loud enough for us all to hear. "Is it your birthday too?" asked Ian's friend. "One more time for this lady sitting here." For a second time, that carriage erupted into happy birthday. Another of Ian's friends passed a birthday hat to the woman, who put it on. By the time we got to that awkward third line, they had passed her a glass of wine, too. What an animated conversation ensued. Suddenly, strangers were chatting to one another about memorable birthdays, about siblings and family. Meanwhile, the maiden aunt was announcing how she wasn't going to divulge her age, but it was a good deal more than yours, young man. "I'd like to try a sip of that," a woman sitting across from the matronly aunt said, quite out of the blue. The glass was duly passed across, and more party hats and glasses were distributed. What a jovial atmosphere there was in our carriage that afternoon. As the train pulled into 59th St. Columbus Circle, Ian and his entourage got ready to leave. The glasses were collected and the wine was downed by those who had to remain on the train. The maiden aunt and a few other strangers kept their party hats on. We'd known Ian and his friends for no more than 6 minutes, but even I was sad to see him go. We said our goodbyes and they waved us off from the platform as we hurtled off to Upper Broadway. We call that a New York moment, a short lady in a cap told me without my asking. I guess the two things that struck me most about the incident were these. First, the sudden and unrestrained friendliness that erupted between a group of strangers who, despite their separate lives, were all living the same lives. The second, in the midst of this hilarious, spontaneous celebration, one single man remained fixed to his tablet. Glasses were handed out around him, party hats were distributed, and twice he was in the middle of two raucous versions of Happy Birthday. He never flinched throughout it. Happy Birthday, I whispered to the maiden aunt as I got off on the 86th Street station. Thank you, dear, she said with a smile that warmed me on that blisteringly cold day. That's all. I just wanted to make you feel good as we usher in the year 2057. Happy New Year, dear reader.